Welcome to Down to Dirt, Landmark's internal podcast designed to strengthen communication across our teams and keep us all connected to the bigger picture of what's happening here. Each episode, we'll dig into the people, projects, and ideas shaping our company. Today, we've got a special guest joining us, Colonel Garth Massey of the United States Marine Corps. Over the past year, Garth has become something of a leadership guru around Landmark. You may have seen him in our all-hands meetings and strategic planning sessions, or even just riding around job sites and checking things out. He's been a big part of our training initiative and is currently working with about 20 of our up-and-coming leaders. Welcome, Garth.
Thank you.
I'd like for you to tell us just a little bit about who you are and what you, and I know Wally's been here as well, but what you're doing when you show up to our building.
Yeah, so I am a Marine colonel, still in the reserves, so, you know, rocking and rolling. Infantry guy by trade. I'm at 29 years now, hit 30 in November. And when I got off active duty, I found that there are simple, easy leadership things that a lot of America is not doing, and we're not teaching it anywhere. You know, we teach individualism in schools, get your grades, get your scores, get your resume, get your hire. You know, then you get put on a project, and if you do your project well, you get promoted. Sometimes if you're the tallest one in the group, you get promoted.
Sure.
You know, and then we end up with these people in leadership roles who've never had any formal training. In the U.S., the average age of someone doing formal training is about 42. Mm. The average age of a new frontline leader is about 28, 26, where they're in charge of two or three people.
Right.
And so there's this gap of, you know, 14 years where you're making it up. And it's not until typically the 40s where you start taking formal training. So I was looking at that and started running classes for friends and my teams at work, and then it just blew up. So I started teaching leadership in 2007 and now do workshops. We're kind of industry agnostic, a lot of law enforcement, every video game company you've probably ever played, and then a lot of trades and pharmaceuticals, healthcare, like, we bounce all over the place, but there is a desire to understand, you know, how do I do this better with other people? Because people don't quit jobs, they quit managers.
It's funny you say that. Here at Landmark, we talk a lot about culture, and it's interesting because you'll have several people, and this isn't, you know, just Landmark, but kind of in general, you know, you'll have people with the same title at the same company, they'll each experience leadership and culture, you know, a little bit differently. And when most people hear the word leadership, they think of someone with a title, you know, a manager, a foreman, or a superintendent. But leadership among peers can be just as important. What does that look like in your mind? And how can someone who isn't in a formal leadership role yet start showing those leadership qualities?
So there's two things you need. The first one is just a desire for growth.
Sure.
If you are one of those people who figured that you peaked in high school, like that's as good as you're ever going to get, well, great. But, you know, you're never going to take over anything. And if you do get promoted, you're going to struggle.
Right.
The problem in life is that the curriculum, you know, the syllabus, the, hey, here's the books you're going to read, here's the stuff you're going to do, that ends when you get out of formal school. And so now we're all in our jobs and we look around and we're like, well, I want to be better. So we go to YouTube University and you watch a video on like management. But then right after that is a video on like some cool movie. And then after that, it's a video of how it should have ended in animated, right? But you go down the rabbit hole really quick and you lose focus.
Yep.
So a formal study of, hey, what could I be doing? How should I be learning? What can I get better at? Like you have to have that curiosity and that desire kind of in your heart. So one, if you want to do more, like great, apply it. Go learn anything. You know, you can learn. Today we were doing a leadership class and we talked about go figure out how to make sourdough bread. Cool, you know. But the process of learning, of being not good at something, is what you got to get. Because most people don't want to go learn something because when you start something new, you have to suck at it. And because you suck at it, then you feel bad. And because you feel bad, you don't want to do it. And you don't want other people to see you doing it. So one, allow yourself to be curious. Allow yourself to be awful. Recognize that to learn anything new, you got to be bad at it. That's one. And then the second one is if you're going to study these things, like try them. Like if you're going to go read the book, well, then apply it. Like, you know, you read an idea about leadership, well, get out there and put it into practice. Because it's like a language, you know, you can read all the vocabulary you want in a second language, But until you try and speak it, you know, and get over the, so it's all fear, you know, being embarrassed, whatever. But if you're young and you want to lead, our country desperately needs leaders. You know, this company needs leaders. And it just needs people who read about ideas, are curious about things, and are willing to try them and let that curiosity show. And then from that, you'll start to develop a sense of accountability and personal ownership of the job, the site, the tools, you know, whatever your jam is. And it changes you, you know, and that's, you know, you don't flip a switch and become a leader. You become the kind of person who seeks new knowledge and is at least secure enough in their identity to allow themselves to suck at things so they can start something new. And then from that comes this power where, you know, now you can own your attitude. You can own the job site. You can own all the little things that make you better and that make the job better. You know, everything from weed whack in the entryway to your trailer, you know, owning the site. So when people walk up to you, they're like, no, this is a Landmark crew. We're different, you know, but those are easy things. It starts with curiosity.
So you've, you know, been around Landmark for a little bit now. Obviously you spoke at both strategic planning. You spoke at our big kind of event. I know you've driven around on some job sites.
Yep.
What's the general consensus when you look at construction leaders versus some of the other stuff you see?
I like working in construction. I think the trades are great. I think it's been a lot of hype been put into college. I'm in that camp that's like, hey, go to college if you're going to do a thing that requires college.
Sure.
But you go into the trades if you, you know, want to be outside, you want to work with other people, you want to create things, you want to be able to point to something and say, I made that or did that or was part of that. I pushed a couple of my kids into the trades and a couple of them into college. And I mean, you guys, you have a special vibe and, you know, there's a lot of you and, you know, there are some people who are working hard and just turning a shovel and that's cool. And there are some of you who are aspiring to do more and it takes the whole combination of that. But again, you want good culture, like push curiosity. Just look for people who want to learn more and then watch them. We blossom and grow when we're not afraid to be curious about something. And the problem is always that the second you don't know something, I mean, everyone's got their little Google devices in their pocket. So we have the answer to everything. So then we stop being curious about stuff. Like, you know, go learn about things the hard way. Not just, right. You know, have Siri search it for you. It does incredible things for your brain. But trades has that. And then you have the hierarchy that I love from the military. Like you have journeymen, you have foremen, you have supervisors. Like there is a rank structure that shows you the progression. So you don't have to guess at what you ought to be doing. Your roles and responsibilities are pretty well defined. So you can go study that. And there's associations for that. And there's other mentors and jobs and counselors and coaches. And, you know, so the trade's a fantastic place to just excel as long as you're just like you have enough discipline to be consistent.
Sure.
Like you do the right things and it's easy to move up.
Talk to me a little bit about, and this is another thing that you hear a lot, but there's kind of two sides of the coin, right? You have the leader and then you have the ones being led. Talk a little bit about that relationship. I think it's a little unique in construction. And you hear a lot of complaints about, well, you know, my boss sucks or, you know, this guy's a crappy employee. You know what I mean?
We do complain about the things that aren't us a lot.
Sure. Yep.
Some of it is we've always been told, like, treat other people the way you want to be treated, but we're all a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to, leadership, you have to be able to understand at least the archetypes or the different perspectives of other people, though it's really tough to lead them. And we do tend to complain, but that's a cheap, easy road to try and build camaraderie by making fun of somebody else or picking on other people. It's easy to say, well, it's my people's fault. You know, but you're the manager, so you shaped the environment. Like, you have to look for ways to constantly be growing them and training them and talking to them about everything. You know, new employees need as much personal finance information as they do, you know, how to set up a frame for concrete, because both skill sets will keep them alive. You know, starting out in the trades, you're not making a ton of money, and life is still expensive. I mean, you got to get the big, you know, Ford 250 and you know, yep, you got to have the, you know, chromed out rims or whatever, you know, is hip with the kids or, you know, whatever, right? You got to do all this stuff. It's expensive. And then you add, you know, you got to guys go out drinking or they vape or they, you know, have an apartment, you know, things cost money.
Yep.
So a lot of new employees are living just hand to mouth on paycheck to paycheck. And so it's easy to look over the fence and be like, oh, if I was doing that, I'd make $2 more an hour and life would be, man, it's too short-sighted. Like there's always greener grass on the other side of the fence till you get there.
Sure.
The trades are great because it shows you like learn this skill set, get this license, you know, figure out how to drive this beast. Like what you can always add a skill and advance yourself and you just look around the job site. What jobs are difficult? What jobs are interesting? What jobs are technical? You know, and then teach yourself, get certified, get licensed in the different things. And as you do that, you just start advancing. Like it can be really good. That gets you where you were going on your question, but yeah.
I think so. Generally, you're going to, this is your specialty. You're going to know more than I do. So you just,
leadership, you we're go, making it up as we go, man.
You go, like, yeah.
Be human. I mean, you know what? It's funny. There's a million different experts and research and all this crazy stuff. And I read and study this stuff all the time. It comes down to this, like, don't be a dirtbag human.
Sure.
Like, you know, whether it's the manager or the employee, like be consistent in your behavior and recognize that you're not the center of the universe. You know, if your mom didn't teach you, I probably can't fix you. Like the basic human core things make for good employees, make for good managers. Like don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
It's just that hard, right? And to not be a jerk, well, that's where the studying comes in. Like you're going to be stressed if your money's out of line. You're going to be stressed if your spouse is out of line. You're going to be stressed if you're raising bad kids. If you study about how to behave and how to teach and how to share, you know, your kids aren't fighting when you get home. Your spouse isn't mad at you and looking for ways to get away. You know, you might not have a ton of extra cash, but you know where it is and you know how it's using and you have a plan forward, all the stress goes away. And if the stress goes away, well, then it's easy to be a good human. You know, but most of the time, you know, people get mad on the job site. We get asked about that a lot. A lot of conflict management, conflict resolution. Anger is not a primary emotion. You think back to your colors, you know, like there are primary colors. Anger is not a primary emotion. It's a combination. And it's the combination of fear and sadness. So when someone's mad, when you're mad and you're tripping off on somebody and you're screaming and hollering or you're upset, the real question to ask is like, okay, what are you afraid of? And like, what's the fear? What's the sadness? Something is scaring you and you have this sense of loss about you. Those two emotions combined is what makes us angry.
Sure.
You know, so a lot of management is just, don't suck as a human.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, but then recognize when someone's having a rough day, like Plato tells us, be kind to everyone you meet, for everyone is fighting a hard battle. Only said it in Greek. I don't know how to say it in Greek. Right.
But
that's, I mean, everyone has something on their mind and their problems might not seem like that big. It's not a competition. You're not trying to have the worst problem, but recognize that they have a weight and they're carrying it around. So get into that. Like, you know, want to be a good manager? Recognize that everybody's struggling. And if they're spouting off, it's not because they're angry. It's because they're afraid of something and they're sad about something. And then you can work towards root cause. That's a much more effective method.
All right, Garth, I've got kind of a fun one for you. Say you, and you can invoice me later if you want, but say you wake up tomorrow as the CEO of a trades company, you know, you hit the lottery or something, and suddenly you've got 100 employees looking to you for direction. What's your first move there? How do you, you know, set the tone, the culture, put the right training in place to make that team the best it can be? Essentially starting from scratch and what's a new culture for you? What does that ideal setup look like on day one?
I'll put it together. There are 7 areas of human development. You know, things like your health, your spiritual wellness, you know, your curiosity, your finances, like areas of, if you dial in these areas, like you'll grow personally. So one, take a look at that. You know, we're not looking for exceptional. We're looking for consistent. Like in spite of what the rap songs would tell you, you don't need to be a little bit taller or, you know, go to the gym one more time. You need to be consistent.
Right.
If you're just putting a little bit in all the time. So when I do learning design, and I design big war games for the Marine Corps. So my team now is 50 officers and we put on staff planning exercises for like 3-star generals. So think war movies where they got the big tables and they're sliding the pieces around. We build all that stuff, just all on computers. And when you do learning design, you're looking for a couple things. there's a lot of areas where you could grow. So you interweave them. So a lot of companies will come in and they'll just drive like a hammer, like, you know, conflict resolution. And it's just class after class on critical conversations and conflict resolutions and verbal judo. And, you know, they're just berating people with one idea because someone somewhere in the leadership chain was frustrated or saw a problem. And so then they direct all their energy towards that. Well, when we do just one topic, we get really good at that topic if we know it's coming and we're in the moment. You know, so better is to interweave topics. So you take the seven different areas of growth, you mix them around, right? So one month you're talking about one thing, and then the next month you're talking about something else, and you bounce around. In the short term, it won't feel like you're making progress. But like in baseball, if you go in and every day you get fastballs, and you know you're getting a fastball, and you practice the fastball, and you get good at the fastball, you will leave practice feeling good because you're like, man, I got all the triggers. I know how to read the ball. I can see it coming. I hit it, you know, more often than not, whatever. But the guy who gets mixed pitches will walk away from practice like, I suck. I can't hit anything.
Yep.
But if you keep going in the game, the guy with the mixed pitches learns how to read the pitch. The guy with the fastball can only hit it if he knows it's a fastball in advance and then takes a swing at it.
Yep.
It's the same thing, right? So if I was to do a training program, I want to interweave topics and then space them out. Like I would want my organization to know like, hey, learning is just part of what we do. Like every month we have just a drip feed of different subjects and sign up for what you like and take, you know, we encourage people to do it. But I would create opportunities to learn about a lot of things and then make sure people understood like this is just who we are. Like if you work here, part of working here is growth. Now, if I won the lotto, I don't know that I would buy a trades company. It sounds like a lot of work. But if I won the lotto and bought a trades company, yeah. I mean, my learning plan, you know, would be tiered for the different levels. It'd be continuous and it would be interwoven. So you would want as much variety as possible. And there's all you're trying to do is back to curiosity. Like if I could get you curious about personal finance, because we just talked about it, and you're like, you know what, maybe I should check out a book on budgeting or planning or something related to money. Then that's a win because you can go as deep as you want to go, but you can't start deep, right? Like you got to be curious about it first to go investigate it, to then go research it. And it gets deeper and deeper the more you get into it. So I think a company's obligation is to create an environment where the curiosity can be found because you never know. Like you might have an operator on a road crew right now who at 2 a.m. is lying on his couch, eating ice cream off his belly like a sea otter, watching the national anthem on TV because the shows are over. I don't know if they still do that. And he has that epiphany moment of like, I got to do something. I got to change my life. In that moment, if your company has resources, they can listen to this podcast. They can, you know, go pull up the books that they make available through HR. They can sign up for a training program. Then when they are ready, they will step in and they will take advantage of it. And if everybody around them is doing it, they are more likely to take advantage of it. What most companies do is they're like, well, we'll do a training class every January because it's the kickoff to the year.
Yep.
Nobody wants to go. People are bitter by the time they're done. They want to get back to work, you know? And then in that moment of epiphany where they realize I got to change something, there's no resources available for them. And the moment passes. You know, it's like stand-up comedians say they sleep with notebooks by their bed. Because they wake up in the middle of the night, their brain's working on a joke, they think of something, they can write it down.
Yep.
If you don't write it down, that joke's gone. Well, if you don't take advantage of the desire to be curious and learn, in the moment when you're curious and you want to learn, the moment's gone. So I would want to make an environment where the learning is available when you're ready, and then we just promote that, you know, getting ready is kind of the key, like be curious, try things. Try anything. Go take ballroom dancing classes, go learn to play the guitar, like, you know, be curious about something, learn a new skill.
Have you seen, I mean, obviously you have, I'm sure, but like, how does that look? Is that a, hey, we have an app that's got videos and as a company, you can go and decide to start learning. Is that generally how those look?
Yeah. I mean, it used to be, you go to the HR department, they had that big library cart full of books.
Sure.
You know, Good to Great and Traction and EOS. And that's cool. People are into videos now. So, you know, it's in our program. They get these 5-minute, 10-minute videos. Your company has actually outperformed every single company in the trades, actually of any company ever, in terms of viewage of the videos on the site, which is crazy. Now, they did it through harassment, I think. But But 100% of the people in the program watched all the videos. It's never happened. Normally, we get 50, 60%, and that's a win.
Yep.
If you just said, hey, we're going to buy a video platform and you made it available, like even this podcast, 10 to 15% of your company listens to it.
Yep.
That's a win. That's a big number. People would pay to have numbers like that. So right. The fact that you guys killed 100% of the videos means somebody was forcing people to watch videos.
You didn't have an option.
Yep. But it doesn't matter. Yeah, like, you know, they went through this program and look, you know, even if they're being forced to watch it, they still watched it.
Yep.
And so then those ideas set in and, you know, you never know when a new idea, a new bit of information will gel in your brain and you synthesize it. It becomes Trevor's idea. But you need to be exposed to it. So you just look for ways to expose. So should you have videos? Yeah. Should you have a podcast? Absolutely. You know, when you go out to the job site, should you talk about what ifs all the time? Hey, what if it rained tomorrow? What if, you know, this truck wasn't here? What if we had three more of these trucks? You know, and if you're constantly testing ideas about how to improve and how to respond, you start to develop a really, a predisposition for action and the ability to adapt. Like, that's what makes the Marine Corps better than the other armed services, is all we focus on is adaptability. We never have the right gear. We never have enough of it.
Yep.
We steal half our, I mean, we acquire half our stuff, right? I mean, yep. Many a day, we, you know, scraping U.S. Army off the thing and just painting USMC on the thing. And there are classic stories. Like the Army at one point in World War II started punch-holing their Jeeps. U.S. Army, they'd get a hole punch and they'd put Army in holes in the side of their Jeeps. Because the Marines were stealing them and painting over them. Yeah, and the Marines would weld a steel plaque on it and paint USMC on it. Yep. I mean, like, you know, but we are adaptable, you know, and I think a good company is adaptable too. Like the environment, the owners, the GCs, the other subs, like you're in this constant like state of flux.
Yep.
And it's the people who have resiliency and are adaptable to it, they will excel. And then you get the curious ones, they will promote. It's that easy.
Yeah, so really this was all just a trap to get you to come in here. You know, we stay on this, and you know, you see it in different parts of the business. Like, even since I've been here, one of the things you always hear is like, Landmark's on the cutting edge. Like, if you go talk to our GPS and layout team, they're going to tell you about these amazing things we're doing that nobody else is doing. And, you know, just the way we operate, and we try to stay on that cutting edge. And we talk a lot about how training, like, we're trying to get there and just seeing what's always available. I know, like, you know, BuildWit's got their kind of micro learning thing they're doing. Like, there's lots of different options. Obviously, we've got you and Wally coming and talking to a lot of our younger leaders that are just starting out, people that you know, spoke about. It's kind of that lapse in leadership training for the younger folks.
But you got to... I mean, you know, this is like the talk on AI. Like, you guys are not in danger of AI taking your jobs.
Sure.
You're not. Now, AI can supplement your jobs.
Absolutely.
AI is going to modify your jobs, going to change the way you do your jobs.
Especially ours over here. You know what I'm saying?
Especially yours. But yep. You guys, you know, so you got a podcast. You got learning platforms. You've got, you know, have you gotten it to the stage it could be at? No, but you're doing it. But ultimately, it all comes down to people. And so, you know, you're going to put these classes out there, but you have to have an attitude about, you know, the people listening to this podcast, they're the ones that can change your company, because they're taking time listening to something. I mean, we're 20 something minutes into this now.
Yep.
If you're still listening, like, you are the kind of person who's going to take your curiosity and develop yourself. And the fact that you're this far in is a really good sign.
Yeah.
Right? Now, does that mean, you know, you have to listen to get promoted? No. But I would argue anybody who's gotten this far is already in a place where somebody should give you a call and talk about, like, hey, what are your goals? What can we do to set you up for future success? Because that's curiosity. That's somebody who wants to, they listen because they're like, hey, they might say something about the company that will help me, shape me, give me an opportunity. You know, that's hungry. I will take those people all day long, you know, on a team as employees, like, you take the curious ones all day.
Yeah.
Because you can teach anything.
We do. We usually, I've done it for a good majority of them. And it is funny. I usually around the end will throw in like, hey, you know, if you can tell me what branch of the armed forces Garth was in and text it to our platform, you know, you
get
gotta
a bonus.
Listen, you know,
yeah. Well, if you get that one wrong at this point, yeah, like, something's really wrong.
But
with
you gotta listen to even
Code
know that's
Trevor.
An option. Yeah. Yep. But, and it is cool to see, and it does tend to be the same people. And I'm, hey, we'll give away a Yeti to somebody that responds. And if, you know, we're at 500-ish people, give or take, depending on the job or the day. But it is cool to see. It seems like the same 20 or 30 people that that constantly. Right.
So if you're that 20 or 30 USMC, people, yeah, you know? If you're the 20 or 30 people, well, guess what? Like you've already self-selected just from curiosity and a willingness to know more about the company and what's happening, how it's growing. Sure. So if you've already self-selected for that, then great, build a curriculum. Figure out what you can be consistent at. Volunteer to sign up for some training programs that the company puts on. Like, raise your hand. You're already doing the work, so raise your hand, because you don't need to stay where you are. And again, if you peaked in high school, shame on you. Like, you're supposed to be the amalgamation or the build of all your life experiences, get you to where you are now to make the best decisions you can. And then that decision becomes part of your life experience to help you make better decisions going forward. You know, so keep adding to it. But we have this real sense of finality when we graduate or when we finish things. Like, you get that diploma or that plaque or that whatever, and you're like, oh, cool, got it. I've achieved. No, you haven't. Like, you've put together things that make you from boring to interesting.
Right.
And now you're interesting and you can affect change because you're involved in more stuff. So don't peak. Like, it's not the end when you know, I tell guys in the military all the time, like, when you hang your uniform up, if that's the best you ever got, shame on you. Like, there's more. And now you have all these skills and knowledge that you can bring to the next thing. So if you're listening, great. Now go get a book and call in and find another class you can sign up for, or go, you know, join an association and deep dive into concrete or fleet or dirt or, you know, equipment management or whatever. Like, you know, there's tons to learn. Raise your hand. They'll send you to go learn, you know, and then you just start picking up stuff, and it snowballs fast because companies are so hungry for hungry people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You have anything else you just want to tell the Landmark team on your way out?
I've had a great, getting the keynote with you guys was fun. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Your projects are amazing. And you're in an interesting time, right? Like, there's I think the industry is about to uptick. This is the best time to be in the trades. If you are brand new joining the trades right now, I mean, just pile on the education, because you are at the front end of the wave. And there is a whole slew of people coming behind you that are giving up on college, and they're going to be following you in. And if you can get through the journeyman programs and the certification programs, you know, PM, engineering, whatever your jam is, you knock it out now, you'll be at the top of a giant pyramid, because the base is going to be huge in the coming years. And it's coming in the next, like, couple years. And there will be a ton of first years, and they're going to need foremen and supervisors to lead and to manage them. So now is the time to, like, raise your hand and say, hey, how do I get smarter at this job? And then work with the company to do it. But that curiosity is the first step.